Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
LaFondra looking to get close side of Font. LaFondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. We are here talking after a battling 1-1 draw at the Triangle Stadium against Oxford United. And it's one of those ones that we don't do that often anymore, Alex, isn't it? Very, very close to full time. And I've got to say, I'm pretty buzzing after that. I feel pretty good after that.
Yeah, draw away at Oxford. Can't really knock it too much. I think, this is pretty much the worst year in Reading history. And it's one of the peaks of Oxford history in the last 20, 25 years. And yet they still can't beat us. So I don't really have too many complaints.
No, I don't think we can. And obviously I've been joined by Mr. Flat Cap wearing Matt Lansley. It has struck again, the flat cap, hasn't it? Got us a point away.
It has. As Alex said, it's just glorious, isn't it? Like we're battered, we're bruised, we're on our knees. We barely have a first team, but you know, Oxford is, it's always going to happen. It's always going to happen. Thinking of getting in the championship, get out of here. We'll see you next season.
Well, we hope so. We really do. Obviously, let's just put a little reminder in there. Oxford haven't beaten us in this century. This millennium.
Millennium.
Oh, I really want to break out into song there, but I don't want to do that. So we're going into the game. There is only one change, and Mbenge coming in for Tom Holmes, it appears, has a fractured back. Apparently that actually isn't as bad as it actually sounds, because first of all, you know, when you hear someone's got an injury of that kind of severity, anything around the spine, you think, whoa, that's going to be out for a very long time. But apparently he could be back within 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even next week. We'll see. But hopefully, good luck to him. But we've got to say, I know we're going to go into more detail about a match, but how good was Bindon today, Alex?
I would probably say Bindon was our best player. Boy, he was great. He just looks calm every time the ball came near him. Just didn't take any shit. And you compare that to the game against later on last week. And when I think a lot of us thought that he was quite physically outmatched against the Jai up front. And today it was like complete opposite. He just took control of the defence completely. And it was like his defence almost. Would definitely give him man of the match, I think, for me. Obviously, there was other Reading players who played relatively well, but I was, super impressed with how good he was, considering, you know, his age and the fact that I don't really think he's ever had a game where he's been like the lead defender, as it were. And I think today he probably was.
Yeah, I thought he was.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else who, you know, has impressed as much as Bindon did today. Maybe Mike.
I thought Craig was really good.
Yeah.
I thought Craig was decent.
Especially the first half. Craig was excellent in the first half. And I thought Dorset was pretty good as well, up until maybe like 30 minutes. And then it kind of, it is not like he was bad, but like just wasn't as good as Craig or Bindon. But yeah, I thought Bindon was just fantastic. I would give him my Alex's Man of the Match award. I don't have a
well. I'm sure he'll be. That's made his whole day, though. I'm sure.
Probably will have done.
Definitely. Well, I'm sure we would all admit that we were quite nervous on the way there in that car and that long, arduous 45-minute journey, which was absolutely beautiful to be back so early. But we all felt that we could get something, Matt, didn't we? We didn't think it was impossible that we could go there and even get a win, possibly. But if you'd have offered us a draw before the match, we would have taken it, wouldn't we?
Yeah, you know, we know what our away form is like. I don't think, you know, confidence is fully back in when we go away from home. But Reading are in a kind of a patch of form right now where you're actually looking at it and, you know, you look at the games that we've had against the likes of Derby and Peterborough, you know, teams that are right up near the top, Oxford now, you know, right up near the top, and we've competed with them. You know, you're getting confidence that, you know, this team actually can go away from home. And to be honest, any point away from home is a very good point, you know, normally, especially a team that's, you know, on the cusp of the playoffs as well. I certainly with us in our situation after, you know, the week that we've had, some might think that morale within that team might have been down, but, you know, it certainly didn't seem that way. I think, certainly likes of Craig was massively up for the game today. You know, some of the tackles he put in the first half was fantastic. Likewise with Dorset as well. He put in some really good tackles, Bindon as well. You know, there were some real kind of gritty, tough tackles going in that you'd want to see in a derby. We didn't really see that in the first game, you know, at the Medeski earlier in the season. And I think it was one of the reasons why some fans might have been a bit disappointed. They were certainly there and up for it today. But yeah, confidence is coming back, and that's a nice feeling to be going to an away game with at least a bit of hope. Because yeah, by Wickham, you know, last year you were just going to every game almost dreading it away from home.
The thing that's given me hope now when we do go to these away games, and even today, was the fact that we are coming back in games now. Today was the fourth game in the last five away from home where we've come back from being behind and got a point. Yeah, we haven't won any of those four out of the last five, but we have picked up 4 points now in five games away from home. And that's, you know, against Peterborough and Oxford. They're both in the top six. Cheltenham, who've massively improved. And Lincoln, who are, I think they're just in the top half, or just outside the top half. I haven't looked at the table.
12th
this evening, 12th currently. But so we've picked up 3 points against teams in the top half, all from being behind in games away from home. If you told somebody that in September that we were going to do that, or October, when we've been on a run of like 15 consecutive losses away from home, you would have got laughed at. So yeah, there's definite fight in the team, which gives you confidence that going to these away games, that it's not just a case of like we're going to get outplayed and we're going to lose. I think there's definitely an improvement, and particularly, I mean, I don't want to say there is an improvement defensively, because I know lots of people will disagree and say that defensively we look shaky. And I think every League One team, well, maybe most League One teams, will look shaky at the back. I think it's just about whether the opposition have the quality to convert those moments, right? And actually capitalise on the few moments that you give up. And obviously, the less moments you give up, the less goals you're going to concede. And it feels like we're giving up less of those moments now than we were 2 or 3 months ago. I mean, when was the last time we conceded, you know, three goals, or even really looked like conceding three goals?
We're not losing as well, you know, because I mean, back at the start of the season, back in last year, it was just loss, oh, win, loss, win, loss, wasn't it? So it's nice, like, it might be a bit boring grinding out draws, but, you know, we're actually getting points, and points away from home are always good points, no matter how they come. So yeah, I think that's one of the biggest points as well, I think, for me.
Yeah, totally. If we look at the table now, the benefit of what you've both been saying comes into it. We're now only 2 points away from safety. Port Vale, who have played two games less than us, but we'd also have to play them very soon. And their form is, what I would say, is going in the complete opposite direction to ours. Let's kind of hope that kind of like stays the case.
I mean, every
no,
result
went, Port Vale, but,
basically every result went for us today, really, Paul, didn't it?
At the bottom. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
you know, I think it was Carlisle, they lost. Fleetwood won, I think, in the end.
Yes, mm-hmm. they were the ones who beat Port Vale 3-0.
Yeah, so they beat Port Vale, but they're 6 points behind us still. So it's like, and they've got a worse goal difference than us. It's like, well, not really that bothered if Fleetwood win games, especially if they're taking points off teams who are just above us. So, you know, Cheltenham lost, Charlton lost, I think Burton lost, Shrewsbury lost, Exeter lost. All these teams lost right up until, like, you know, 15th place. So picking up even 1 point today just continues to close that gap. And it's like, yeah, we're not out of the relegation zone, but we're just slowly just Pitt's closing the gap every week at the minute.
Well, within one, we'd be 18th. Yeah.
And we're within one win again of safety, which again is a massive reassurance, especially when we've got games in hand on the likes of Shrewsbury.
Well, I think if we're playing Charlton. Oh, we've got a game midweek, actually, so don't worry. I was going to say we could get out next weekend against Charlton, but we might be out as soon as Tuesday. Who knows?
Well, you never know. You never know. I'm not going to discount anything because our form is improving, and that's all we want. That's all that we can control, isn't it? What we can do. If every other teams around us start to drop points, that's great. But if we beat the other teams that are around us, we'll find the solution ourselves. So let's get on today's game. Well, it was a bit of a weird one being in a stadium that you could see a car park. I've got to mention that. I know it's very obvious, but it was just very odd.
It's a pathetic sight when you're driving up, isn't it? You're driving up, you get to the roundabout. I mean, we parked in the overflow car park. It's a pathetic sight when you drive in there.
Shout out, though, to the people who are stood outside the stadium on the tiny little hill. And I think there was two people sat in a tree watching the game.
Yeah.
You have to assume they were Reading fans, because otherwise, why didn't you buy a ticket? Because it's not like...
One of them was an Oxford fan. One of them had an Oxford scarf and was wearing yellow.
I don't know why you wouldn't go in the ground. It's, you know, the game's not sold out. It's not like it's difficult to get a ticket in the Oxford end.
I don't know about that, but... The fact that the Reading fans, to summarize, a big busload arrived at the stadium about 15 minutes in and got serenaded in by the away fans.
That was so funny.
Honestly, in the first 15 minutes or so, not much else happened on the pitch, though, did it really, Matt? I mean, there wasn't a huge amount of quality at all.
No, that was very much the highlight of, I think, the first 15 minutes. It was very scrappy. There was some big challenges going in, which you wanted to see. Like derbies often, I guess, go this way because you sometimes get a bit more of a gritty feel, you know, big tackles going in, it becomes very stop-starty, and that's kind of what the first 15 minutes was. But yeah, when that group of, what, 75 people, I'd love to know where they'd been. They'd obviously been in Oxford Town Centre or something, hadn't they? And but that was just so amusing. It's going to make me laugh for a while. That if anyone is listening that was in that congregation, good on you.
Yes, a rare moment of glory there for all Reading fans there coming into the ground. But there was one mistake by Mbenge, who we mentioned came in today. He managed to get away with it with the Oxford striker getting a shot away, Alex. And that was about the only scare I would say from that kind of like first half an hour coming towards our end.
Yeah, I mean, I think both teams really struggled, didn't they, to create any chances pretty much for the whole game. But yeah, the first half an hour, it was very kind of even, and neither team really could move the ball forwards particularly. And yeah, the Mbengue moment really was the only kind of slight scare. It wasn't even a real kind of, you know, worry particularly. I think the best chance of the first, what, 30 minutes or so was Wing's effort from outside the area. It was a nice piece of play. It really felt, to be honest, like both teams struggled to create but were quite happy to try and counter-attack as well. And this one kind of, like, it happened, I think, on the left-hand side. Went out to Makara on the left from Wing, and then it was like a 1-2 laid back to Wing, and Wing put it just wide of the right-hand post as you look at it. And that was probably the best chance, I think, of the first half an hour. And it felt like quite a low-quality game, in all honesty, from both sides, Paul, I think. Neither team really were imposing themselves particularly on the game. There was a lot of, like, there was a few hard-hitting challenges and, you know, moments which fans kind of could get behind, but there was nothing really which were like you were particularly inspired by. And it did kind of feel like the only way that either team were going to get a good opportunity was going to be from a mistake, basically.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, as I said earlier, I thought Craig was particularly good. And that first half, he was showing a little bit of incisive passing going forward. He wasn't playing through balls or anything. We're just cutting through players a little bit more than I'd seen before from him. And it's kind of encouraging signs because today was a big game for him. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, no, I really agree. I think One thing that we hadn't really seen him do too much of was picking up the ball and carrying it as well, which he actually did quite well in that first half as well. Because sometimes he picks it up and he'll just try and get it off quite quickly, make the safe pass. He's very good at that defensive element normally in putting in those tackles. But the carrying the ball part of it and driving the team forwards, he sometimes has been a bit quieter in. But I thought that piece of his game was actually a lot better today. I think he was unfair or a bit unlucky with the yellow card he got today, but that's probably one thing he needs to work on, I think, is just be a bit cleaner. He's a bit like a much younger Sam Hutchinson at the moment, picking up yellow cards almost every time he's playing. Maybe we're going to have to start playing Craig Bingo and wonder when he's going to get his first yellow card of the half, just like Sam Hutchinson. But no, I think coming back into the team, especially after being... maybe pushed out by Savage. Maybe it was just rested for a couple of games. I thought it was a good decision to bring him out previous games just to give Savage a bit of game time. And also he had gone off the boil a bit, but it was nice to see him come back and put in a solid first half performance. But someone else that was good in that first half, I thought was Makaru down the left. Alex mentioned it in the build-up to that wing chance. I thought Makaru linked up really well on the left. And
their right back looked absolutely fucking shit scared of him every time Makaru got on the ball. He backed off him every single time he touched it. I thought in the first half, the issue with Makaru is the fact is he's got all of the talent and none of the end product most of the time.
He's got all the gear and no idea, hasn't he? He is that classic person, isn't
like
he?
Every so often he'll do something and it will work and it will look really good, but the problem is it's 1 in 10 times that might happen.
I feel like it's getting a bit better of late, though, because you saw it again today, some of his passing.
I think he's improving, but it's like the problem is that when your end product is so low, you know, such a low percentage, it's like you've really got a long way to go to kind of drag yourself into becoming like a really consistent player. And yeah, I think he's one that like has improved. And I do think today he was decent in the first half, certainly, because the one thing I think he did by doing that was ensure that the right back for Oxford couldn't move. Like he had to stay back the entire game because there was just no option other than to sit and try and mark him because he didn't want to let him have space. Because when he did have space, we managed to then put a ball across because we got 3 or 4 balls across in the first half. But every time it goes across from the left-hand side, the only person there is Smith. And then if Smith doesn't win the ball in the area, we lose it and it just gets cleared. There's nobody else there challenging for it, unfortunately.
No, I totally agree on that. Let's get on to the goal then for Oxford. It comes down there, right-hand side. Dawson misjudges the ball. The cross comes in. I think that's possibly a foul on Yedem. I don't think so. Comes across. Mbenge doesn't manage to stop that. We can talk about Button on it. I'm sure Lansley will have a few words to say about that.
Eager and ready.
Honestly, eager and ready. I don't think we can blame Button for this goal. I think it's a combination of errors here. And, you know, Harris, he just loves playing against us, doesn't he? It's about the only thing he did in the game, I think, yet again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was one of the only real attacks that Oxford had in that first half as well, really. But yeah, you know, like at the time, I'm not going to lie, I thought it was a foul on Yedem. Having watched it back, it's a lot less of a push in the back than I kind of thought it was originally. The benefits of hindsight and being able to watch things back on the TV, but yeah, it's just one of those where there's so many elements. You've got, obviously, like you say, Dorset, he's kind of in no man's land, completely misjudges it. And then really, Mbenge, he just stands and watches the ball go by. You know, we talked about his nearly calamitous moment before that in the first half. But he's got to be cutting the ball out there, you know, like as much as I joke about Button, you know, I think even Button's probably expecting, you know, Mbenge to actually cut the ball out there. He's got to. He really has to cut the ball out there, Mbenge. So, yeah, like as bad as it does look watching Button kind of fall down to the ground rather hopelessly and not get the ball. It's got to be. I think it's got. Mbenge's got to stop that. If he stops that, puts it out for a corner, you know, who knows what happens after that. But yeah, it's not brilliant.
No, not ideal. And you're starting to think, you know, are Oxford going to push on after that? Are they going to get a quick second? They really didn't, did they, Alex? I didn't, you know, I wasn't feeling, they didn't get that charge from them at all, that maintained pressure at any point during the game, really. I mean, I know we didn't have like massive amounts of shots and stuff like that, but you'd think a team that was much higher in the league would have that little bit of quality about them.
Yeah, they had 15 minutes really after the goal to go on and like push on and show some dominance in the game, and they just didn't. Like, they were really weak, you know, players going down all over the place, holding the face. I don't understand this, by the way. What's the obsession with players holding their face when they go down injured? It's pointless.
Well, they've got no talent. Like, it's the only way Oxford players can get anything, because they've got no talent.
No one's touched your face. Like, stop holding onto your face and just get up. It's honestly, it's pathetic. I don't understand it at all. Yeah, there was a lot of like going down, and it almost felt like Oxford were just happy with one, and they thought that was going to be enough. It just poor, really. I think then it was just kind of a continuation from the first 30 minutes from both sides. I think the quality of the first half was just really bad. You know, it wasn't that it was a bad game of football all the way through, and the first half was just crap, I think, from both sides.
I don't think we deserve to be losing, though. I think, going in at half time. Yeah.
Because I think the first half, it was even, right? Like, yeah. Yes, Oxford did score, but the game itself was even, except for the fact that Oxford scored from one mistake that we made, and we didn't score from a mistake that they hadn't made yet. That was it. That was the only difference in the game, which, granted, it's a big difference because they've scored. But equally, I just don't think it was like Oxford weren't dominating the game or anything, and we weren't playing terribly. It was just a pretty averagely shit League One 0-0 up to that point.
Yeah, it was. That was about
half time, by the way. Embarrassing.
Oh, we've got to talk about half time. I've no idea. I mean, we've seen some bad half times around the country. You know, it is a tricky one to do, isn't it? I would say keep it basic, keep it simple. So at Oxford, you've got a part down the side of the pitch, which is obviously kind of concrete, cement, whatever way we want to call it. They decided to have a speedway driver racer down there on his motorbike.
Racing is the wrong term, Paul, because he certainly wasn't racing.
Well, he couldn't race. Let's be frank. He couldn't do that. It would have been incredibly dangerous. Which defeats the point of him being there. I have no idea why he was going up and down and then creating some smoke with a wheel spin. And you think, he must have been a bit him thinking, what am I doing here?
I would like to point out, he wasn't wearing a helmet. Very unsafe. I will be reporting him to the Oxford Constabulary for that.
Yeah, well, there was more than enough police there. I'm surprised they didn't arrest him and lock him up immediately.
It was very slow. Although, was he slower than Scott Dan a few years ago?
It's close.
Probably just. It's close, though.
Oh, yeah. That's a close one. Who's the slowest player in recent years for Reading FC players? You've got to tell us that, listeners. Send us in your thoughts on that, the slowest one, because that is going to be quite a hard competition. And I can think of some that have left not that long ago.
The stupidest thing about it was the fact that they've managed to arrange this super, whatever it's called, motorbike driver, whatever.
Speedway.
Speedway, thank you. I don't know. They've got a speedway driver, and he is only driving up half of the pitch because he would have had to drive in front of the Reading fans otherwise. And it's like, well, what's the point then? What a waste. And you just know that someone at Oxford United, like when they managed to book this and get it arranged, was like, that's such a good thing to have for Derby Day. It's great to have someone coming in and doing something at half time. And they were so pleased themselves. And it was fucking crap.
Embarrassing.
The only thing that could have topped it, I mean, he nearly fell when he got on the bike. That would have been the only thing that would have topped it if he actually did properly fall over.
The burnout as well, just pathetic. I'm sorry, it's just sad. Yeah. Very sad.
Dreadful.
It was incredibly crap, but also incredibly good, wasn't it? For us, we enjoyed it.
I used to love going to Speedway in Reading. Back when we used to have Reading races, down at the Greyhound track. I used to love going there, but football stadiums.
Were Oxford and Reading Speedway rivals as well?
I don't remember an Oxford one. I remember Poole Pirates, I always remember, and that being quite a big Speedway day.
Will confess, I know nothing about Speedway, so I'm not going to get into that. But yeah, it's not a big area. Yeah, that's really thrown me off a little bit off track, that one has. But second half starts off, and you're thinking, are we going to make a quick start? Are we going to try and get us back into this, or are we going to just let this drift? A little bit like the Wigan match. It felt like that when I was talking to Dan at halftime. But no, we started quite quickly in the second half, and not that many minutes in. And I haven't seen this back. Normally, when we do the podcast, we try and see, you know, the incident so we can talk about them properly. But there was a penalty shout for Nibs. Now, at the ground, it looked like he was pushed over. It looked like a penalty. I may regret saying this because video footage may show that it is a dive. But Matt, on just initial thoughts when you saw it at the ground, what are you thinking?
100% penalty. Just like with the Yedem foul that wasn't a foul in the lead up to their first goal. So, you know, my eyes at the football game, you know, can be reliable, as we've come to know.
Think he was pushed, because I didn't think he was pushed, but I thought he fell over the player who was on the floor.
Possibly.
I thought he got dragged down.
That would make sense. Yeah.
I thought he got dragged down by the player who was on the floor, not pushed.
Oh.
Yeah. But there was also a handball shout in the first half as well, which was very similar to the handball shout, if anyone remembers, in the first Oxford, Reading-Oxford game back in the day, in December, where it looked like there should have been a Stonewall handball in the first half. Again,
well, League One in handballs is a really weird world, because they don't seem to like giving them. Because Wing definitely did one in the second half and got away with it again.
That's fine when Wing gets away with it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely fine with that. Absolutely fine. Oh, dear me. So we're hoping, we're praying Oxford get a crossing from the right-hand side. They've gone down to our end. And that ball is floating to our far post there, Alex. And you're thinking, is an Oxford head going to get on that and create it? And you think, oh, thank God we get that one away. Because if they would have scored the second goal early on, that would have been game over, wouldn't it?
Yeah, certainly if they got a second goal, I think it would have been done. But like they just, like we said, like the first 10 minutes of that second half, I think we looked on top. We looked like the ones who were going to get the goal. Their kind of one creative moment was a cross, and they didn't get on the end of it. Other than that, like for the first 15, 20 minutes of that second half, they looked so blunt going forwards. It really only looked like kind of the ball was going one way for that first 10 minutes, 15 minutes of the second half before the game kind of settled down after that first opening 15 minutes of the second half. I think once we got to about 65 minutes or so, it was obvious that the game needed a bit of like impetus and a bit of change for either team to kind of do anything, because it didn't really look like anything was going to happen otherwise. So the subs, which happened at what? I think it was 74 minutes, 75 minutes, something like that. And we made a triple sub. I think all of the subs really worked quite well, actually, to be honest, Matt. I think it was Mola came on at left back. Savage came on in the field for Craig. And then it was Abashman who came on for Makara on the left. And I think all of them were, you know, pretty effective. And they worked really well, to be honest. And I think they changed the game today.
I definitely think so. Because I think at that point, it was getting a bit kind of stale with how the team were playing today. I kind of feel like the second half kind of continued a bit in the way that the first half played out for us, where we were controlling quite a bit of the play, and it never felt like Oxford were kind of actually threatening, and we felt like we could get into some, you know, okay positions, but we could never actually then just make that final third. You know, we were lacking that final pass, that final bit of quality to kind of get you in behind the defence, and that Smith was, you know, struggling up top on his own. But you know, Kelvin came on, and it's an interesting role that he's now filling up. It's very similar to Lucas Xiao in his early career. I know we're making a lot of Lucas Xiao kind of comparisons with Ian Bishman, but Zhao early on was playing a lot on the left for Sheffield Wednesday when he came, because that's the only place he could get into the team. And I kind of feel like that's the only way Bishman's going to be getting into the team at the moment. But like when he came on against Wigan, came on, made a difference, nearly scored, and again came on, made a difference. Charlie Savage came on as well. It was probably the best 15 minutes I think we've seen from Charlie Savage in quite some time. He's often very heartful in tackles, not always as effective as probably he'd want to be. They're sometimes a bit late and a bit wild, but all of his tackles were pretty much spot on today, which was really good to see. And he was actually carrying the ball forwards really well, which again is nice because you want to see your midfielders doing that. And Mola as well, you know, I think no one, I'm not sure anyone really knows what to think or what to do with Mola at the moment, but again, was solid and was absolutely pivotal, obviously, when we did manage to get that goal in the second half, Paul.
Yes, well, the second half was the moment we had our moment of glory in the away end. Mola wins the ball from an Oxford throw-in, which comes into our half. Carries the ball up, kind of loses control of it, but manages to get back control of the ball with Kelvin, kind of like in a combination. I'm not quite sure which one gets it. Then he passes the ball to Kelvin down the left-hand side. He's got a lot of work to do. This is not, you know, it could easily go wrong here, but he manages to put a cross in. The Oxford defender, Brown, I've got to say, has an absolute stinker here. I'm not quite sure what he's doing. Sam Smith's right behind him, and obviously that scared the shit out of him, as we all know. But he's had an absolute mare, hasn't it? And I absolutely loved it. You could see the ball slowly rolling into that net, and it felt like it took forever. In reality, it went in quite quickly, didn't it, Alex? But a beautiful moment there in the away end. Just the pure noise and just relief that we've managed to get back into the game.
Yeah, it was a proper clown shoes own goal. Cleared it into his own foot and went back into the goal, which was great. Yeah,
while stumbling over it as well. While stumbling.
Yeah. He kind of falls over his own goal line as well, and like trying to like despair as well.
He scored himself. It's beautiful.
It's just that, yeah, as you say, Paul, it was a massive moment of relief in the away end, because it was very difficult to see where a goal was coming from. And we kind of just created it out of nothing, which is great. Away end went obviously nuts, and the Oxford end was absolutely silent pretty much after that moment. And I think after the goal, there was only one team which ever looked like they could win that game, because the Oxford were absolutely rattled by the fact that we'd equalised. They looked panicked as anything. Every time we went near them, poor passing, bad control, pressuring them, lay off the ball. Like, the only regret is that we didn't manage to create a really, you know, decent opportunity after that, because I think if we, you know, if we'd managed to equalise 15 minutes earlier, I think we probably could have gone on and won that game.
Yeah, we didn't really have an opportunity to be. I mean, there was this shot from wing, but I mean, the goalie would have had to absolutely, I don't know what he would have had to do not to save that one. Yeah, there's a few good crosses, a few opportunities when you think if you just get the ball in a little bit quicker, a bit more quality on it, and we might have a chance. But it just wasn't happening today. And as he said, one of those days which was frustrating, I'm not going to say.
It was a pre-November Aziz day, let's be honest.
Yeah, it was. It was.
It was a bad performance. Like, I think we don't need to dress it up.
We don't need to dress it up. But we also need to give him credit for the last two or three months as well.
Yeah.
You know, so let's remember that.
It would be unfair of us to expect him to have a good game every week. But yeah, today was a particularly poor one.
Yeah, it wasn't working out for him. And I thought little Button, when he came on as well for the last 5 minutes, he looked quite sharp as well.
Elliot.
What am I saying? Button, yeah. Wow, up front.
Yeah, Elliot, I agree, actually. Given he hasn't played for a month, you know, he came on with only 4 or 5 minutes to go on the right-hand side. But he did bring the ball in and look a little bit like he kept the ball and worked well with Yeardom on the right-hand side for that last few minutes and into stoppage time. I think it's a good option to have to bring off, because I think he can play on the right or the left, and, you know, worst case scenario, he ends up being able to fit into that central midfield, but it feels like he's kind of fourth choice there really behind the other three central midfielders. But yeah, it feels like he's a good option off the bench, certainly, because he does have that technical ability, quite 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 enjoy seeing him coming off the bench. So it's good to have him back from AFCON. And yeah, full time, Paul, obviously on the way out, we're, you know, leaving. And it's not a bad result, I think, 1-1 in all honesty.
No, not at all. No, I definitely take that. And I'll also take the spot on another car with an Oxford United badge on it.
The Oxford Mobile, this that is fucking was horrendous. Hideous. If you haven't seen this, we'll post it on our, I think we've posted it on Twitter, but I'll post it on our Facebook as well. It's dreadful. It's a dark blue car with a yellow, is it a bull? I don't even know what their logo is meant to be. I assume it's a bull. It's a like a yellow bull sticker on the door. With
it's an Oxford United decal, basically, it's on the awful car. And like, to go with it as well, to go with it, had an Oxford United number plate as well. I mean, someone find a car compactor and put it in there, please. It's dreadful.
You
utterly
have to be
dreadful.
Proper Oxford for it. And it's a bit sad, I'll be honest. I've never seen any other, we've never been to any other away game and I've seen like a Wigan mobile. Like, it would be tragic, wouldn't it?
It's one of those
that the first place we've ever seen like one of these cars is when we've been to Oxford to the Triangle Ground.
It's one of those that you'd kind of expect or you kind of expect from when you go take your car to a garage and you get one of their like hire cars for the day and it's got plastered all over all these different sponsorship things as well. It's kind of something like that, but a million billion times worse. It's literally hideous. The colour scheme, the thought of it, and it was a Mini as well, I think, from memory. I think it was a Mini Clubman. It's shocking.
It's the sort of car you would not want to get picked up in. Even if you were an Oxford fan, I think it'd be quite embarrassing to get picked up in that.
I wouldn't be picked up in a thing like that. I'd just say, yeah, no, sorry, you're right, mate.
I'll walk.
I am not getting in a thing like that.
Yeah, you know. I'm totally with you both on that. You can't be getting in that kind of automobile, as they would say. So we will have a game coming up against Stevenage during the week. What are your predictions here? I'm going to start with you, Alex. Scoreline, please.
I don't think it's out of the question that we can get more points away from home on Tuesday. I know Stevenage, you know, they did win today. Against Blackpool, and they have been, you know, they have actually been really good this season, despite, you know, being a newly promoted team from last year. I think they, you know, they're winning a lot of games, but I think we've got a relatively good opportunity to go there and pick up a point. So I'm going to say another 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I think if we can go there and get a 1-1 draw, I think everyone will take that point away from home. Shouldn't be underestimated. Yes, they were in League Two last year, but you know, Steve Evans, whatever people makes of his football, has created a really, really solid League One outfit. We might have a preview before Tuesday as well, so be sure to keep an ear out for that. But yeah, it's not going to be an easy game. Yes, they were League Two last year, but this season they deserve to be where they are. They're not overachieving their stats. They're not underachieving. They really should be up there and fighting. And they're very good at home as well. So yeah, if you can give me another point, I'd happily take that right now. Unless it's a last minute equaliser for them, then I'll be raging. But anyway.
Yeah, I think people are very kind of touchy about their style of football. It's very direct. They know what they're going to do. They're very effective at it. I'd have zero issue with it. They know exactly what they're doing. They maximise their players, and there's no issue.
It's a bit like a better version of Cheltenham, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but it works for them. So
super direct, super physical, but it works.
Yeah, yeah. They basically think, well, fuck you. We're doing well. And I don't blame them. That's all that matters, isn't it, ultimately? So, fantastic day, really, in many ways. Yes, we didn't get the win, but Oxford still haven't beaten us this millennium. 25 years, it will continue. Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed it, give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify. Up the fucking ding. You are.